This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The Black Lives Matter movement has been so effective at drawing attention to the epidemic of police killings of African Americans that the issue has become a presidential election talking point. It is raised during debates and covered in the news. Yet, in practical terms, there seems to be no uptick in violent cops being indicted, charged, or convicted for their crimes, even when killings are caught on video. Well, could it be that the justice system is rigged in favor of police and against African Americans? My guests David Massey and Don Kirk Alexander explore that question in depth in their new film. David Massey is the director and producer of the new documentary, When Justice Isn't Just. He's an Academy Award-nominated filmmaker and the first African-American in the history of the Academy Awards to be nominated for an Oscar in the live-action short film category. He's currently also the co-chair of the Black Association of Documentary Filmmakers, West, and he has received several prestigious awards and an induction into the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame. He's also a voting member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. His co-filmmaker, Don Kirk Alexander, is the producer and writer of the documentary When Justice Isn't Just. She's also currently the producer and writer of the award-winning film They Are Not All Lost, which focuses on youth of color, and the winner of the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame Award and a finalist with the Carl Sauter Memorial Scriptwriting Competition. I'm so pleased to welcome David and Don to the program.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us. So the name of the film is When Justice Isn't Just, and we place faith in the American justice system, that it is meant to be fair, that, you know, if we let justice take its course, that horrific injustices will get resolved, the guilty will be indicted, will be charged, will be convicted. But of course, when it comes to interactions between police and in particular African Americans, historically in this country, the justice system just has failed us. What is it about that sort of aspect of our justice system that you try to pinpoint in your documentary? David, I'd like to start with you.
Well, I think we cover three areas. We chose three focal points to highlight that we really feel that there needs to be some type of correction in our justice system. One, of course, which is the obvious one, the unarmed shootings, where several and almost monthly we're hearing about unarmed African Americans being shot and killed, and there's no accountability. The other thing that we talk about is inner city crime that's going on in our neighborhood, black on black crime. Now, we do know that crime in some major cities has decreased. However, we do examine places like Chicago and some other places where the inner city crime is on the rise due to gun violence, due to a number of things, high unemployment and poverty. And then the last chapter, we focus on the legal system in which there is a mass incarceration of people of color. And we examine that and we throw out some statistics that basically highlight how people of color are inappropriately, there are higher rates of imprisonment for people of color in the United States.
So let's also, of course, address the fact that the Black Lives Matter movement has highlighted these issues in such a big way that for the first time in a very long time, Americans are sort of forced to face it. And sometimes, of course, we get very defensive responses like all lives matter. Don, for you, how did you tell us about some of the film subjects that you talked to about these issues? You did talk to some activists with Black Lives Matter, but you also talked to lawyers who have defended families who've lost loved ones to police violence, right?
Yes, we talked to several attorneys, one being Tom Mesereau, who handled a case that's in Birmingham, Alabama, that's highlighted in our legal section, our chapter in the legal system. And then we've talked to some other people in the Black on Black chapter that talk about some legal issues that have occurred, especially with the Nation of Islam, highlighting some of the issues they've been involved in. And then we have a judge that we've talked to that's in the legal system that explores some ideas and tells some stories or gives you some information that most people are not aware of that we find very interesting. And we really enjoy that section as far as what he shares. And there are also some solutions to these issues that are delivered throughout the film.
Now, David, on this issue of so-called black-on-black crime, I mean, we do know that people in any racial group tend to commit crimes. When they do commit crimes against people in the same racial group. It's a matter of proximity. And often this issue of black-on-black crime has been raised by those who get very defensive about police violence to say, well, why aren't African-Americans dealing with black-on-black crime instead of worrying about police violence? Is that an issue that you address in your film?
We do address that, but I have to tell you that those two issues are apples and oranges, and that's why they're in separate chapters. I don't think anybody can use an excuse that when you have policemen shooting unarmed black men, like the incident in Tulsa, like the Eric Garner. I mean, I can go on and on. I don't think that black-on-black crime is something that we can deflect from. I mean, that we can use as a deflection from that issue. This is, we are paying our taxes to have these police protect us. And when you have so many and several unarmed shootings, and I just want to mention that this has been going on for years in the black community. It's just that now the technology has exposed it. But I mean, Rodney King was 1992. That was caught on videotape. But if you speak to anybody in the black community, especially those who are a certain age, they can tell you that these kind of incidents have been happening for years. It was just that it was their word against the police. And even with videotape, you find that still when it's caught on tape, they still are not held accountable. So you can imagine how many reports went unnoticed when it was just a citizen's word against the police. But the black-on-black issue, crime issue, is an issue that we think needs to be addressed. And so we wanted to, because we felt that all Black Lives Matter, regardless if one dies at the hand of a murderer or a policeman.
Right.
We were concerned about that.
And of course, as many have pointed out, if you look at FBI homicide statistics, there is such a thing as white-on-white crime as well. In fact, there are more white people killed by other white people in sheer numbers than black folks killed by other black folks. The percentage of black-on-black crime versus white-on-white crime is very similar. But I think that those two issues are a little bit intersected in that when you do have, say, crime in your neighborhoods, if you don't feel confident about calling the police to address the crime because you're worried that the police might end up killing you, then it becomes, then police violence and the confidence in law enforcement gets deeply shattered, right, Dawn?
Yes, and this is addressed in our film by another attorney, Benjamin Crump, who represented the Trayvon Martin family and several other families that we highlight in the film. And it's an issue that we have to live with every day still, because you still need to be protected and served by the police, law enforcement. So you have to call them, but then you're caught in that cross where when I call them, what's going to happen? You still got to worry.
Right. We just recently had a couple of cases, one in San Diego, one in Pasadena, where the person calling the police or somebody next to them who loves them calling the police because they might be having a mental breakdown ended up with the police actually killing the person who was in trouble and who needed help. And I want to ask...
Before we leave the subject, I just want to add one other thing, though. I think if you look at, let's say, Chicago and some of these inner cities, I think there's a number of factors that are contributing to the reason why you have to call the police. I think when you have unemployment around 20-25%, I think when you have a dropout rate because of poor educational systems, I think that when you have guns being bombarded in a particular area, I think all of those factors probably will create an environment where you will have to call the police. And then, of course, I agree with you and Don, when you do call the police, you're not quite sure if you're going to, if the police are going to be there and view you as a victim or as the perpetrator.
Right.
I think we have to look at the environment in which people are growing up in America in these inner cities that basically encourage a call to a police.
Right. That's a very, very important point. Of course, my guests are David Massey, Don Kirk-Alexander. They're both the filmmakers of the new documentary, When Justice Isn't Just. I want to play for our audience an excerpt from the trailer of the documentary. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion.
You really wanted to see that community, that society, could believe that the police officer in that situation treated Michael Brown like he would treat your child.
In 2015, when we're talking about race and the criminal justice system, to me is the most urgent civil rights issue of our time.
Have your license, please.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!
I just got my license. You think you're my license?
If you walk into a situation and you already fear me, you're not going to use a taser, you're going to use a gun. But if I'm not a threat to you, you may use your hand or a billy club as opposed to your gun.
Once you break the back of fear and decide to stand up and join with others and sustain your resistance, then you got something. Then you got a challenge to the status quo.
Really what they should have to say when they say all lives matter, they should have to say all lives matter except black people. Right? Because that's really what they mean when they say it.
Save our babies! Save our babies!
I lost 2 kids in 60 days. I don't want no mother to wear the shoes I wear right now.
If you will, with both hands, put both hands over these babies.
As if to create a spirit. And we are watching the trailer of the documentary When Justice Isn't Just. My guests are David Massey, the director and producer, Don Kirk-Alexander, the producer and writer of the film. Well, how did you go about bringing the police perspective to this documentary? Don, tell us about the LAPD officer that you interviewed for this film.
His name is Deputy Chief.
Two of them.
Yeah, they are. There's two of them. There's a CHP, but the first one that I think you're referring to is Deputy Chief Bill Scott.
William Scott, right? Yeah.
Yes. And we traveled to inner city park to talk to some of the people there that were, you know, in the area about what's going on in that area. And we talked to Deputy Chief. And he was telling us about what they do to get people off the streets and hopefully out of high crime areas and divert them from activities that they might not necessarily need to get involved with. And it turned into something more than we expected in the sense that we were able to come across a mother who had lost a son. And in inner city violence, it wasn't at the hands of law enforcement. So he was interested and stepped up and said, well, let me help you find out what you need. Because she never heard back about what happened to her son's belongings. So he stepped up and said, here, I can help you and find out what happened and maybe get you some, you know, closure, help assist with additional closure. So that was very eye-opening. And I think it's a different perspective than what we were looking for, but we chose to include it because it shows some sincerity in the sense that there are some law enforcement officials that care. And we know this. But we want to, you know, want to say, well, you know, when it comes to the inner city, we've got some that care, and then we've got some, like when you hear the CHP chief talk, he tells you, you know, we've got some areas we need to deal with, and we need to think it's community policing because we've got an officer here, and we show a clip of the officer that beat the woman on the side of the road, and that was caught on camera. And he addresses the fact that, yes, this officer was wrong, and he's been terminated. And we, you know,
termination is one thing, right? But what about justice? And your film is called When Justice Isn't Just. And it feels like when police are caught doing the wrong thing, sometimes they're suspended with pay, which is basically a paid vacation. But it seems as though the worst thing that can happen to a cop is to simply be fired. Imagine if we committed crimes on our job and the worst thing we faced was being fired rather than actually being prosecuted, charged, and imprisoned if our crime was horrific enough and led in particular to the death of somebody. So David, what about the fact that justice is almost never served when it involves a cop killing, in particular, people of color, in particular, African Americans.
Well, they get the benefit of the doubt.
And that's always, yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons we try to show a incident where it was a court case in Alabama, and this is in the doc, where off-duty policeman basically backs into a motorcycle, runs over the guy's motorcycle, and then tries to take off. The guy confronts him before he can take off, and you know, that's where, depending on who you believe, the defendant or not, but guns were drawn and he shoots the policeman. Now, ordinarily, we felt that if the person he shot, the off-duty cop, wasn't a policeman, probably would have got off in court. But because he was a policeman, just the mere fact that he was off-duty and he wasn't in uniform, the fact that he was a policeman made it that much harder for this particular person to defend himself in court. And of course, I won't tell you the result. You'll have to download the film or buy the DVD to find out how it turns out. But that's a situation where we're not given the benefit of the doubt when the other person's the policeman.
So let's talk about the film itself, how people can get a hold of it. Now, I know that you have been working to make it a feature-length film. Is it still a short film, or have you? Are you still trying to raise funds to make it a feature-length film? Don, what's the status of the actual film itself?
Yes, it's a 42-minute short currently, and we're going to take every chapter. Our goal is to take every chapter and turn it into a feature-length film. Currently we're raising money, hopefully to start with the black on black crime issue, because that's the one where hopefully we can get some issues, some highlight around or some details around, some tension around the fact that, you know, we think that it's the guns. Gun control needs to come into play, which is part of the political scheme right now. The fact that the NRA is supporting the GOP, and the fact that we just recently heard about a case that's highlighted on our website, When Justice Isn't Just, on Facebook, regarding a black man named Keith Cooper that was locked up. According to the Washington Post, he was locked up for 20 years, or 10 years, I'm sorry, but he's lived 20 years now with a felony on his record, but he was released from prison. And, you know, coincidentally enough, Governor Pence, in Indiana, and Governor Pence has not signed yet the man's appeal to have his record released, his felony taken off his record, and it needs a gubernatorial pardon in order for this to happen. And this has been going on for a while, but for 3 years now.
So
he's been appealing, and we've highlighted things like that in our, you know, in our next feature length. We're going in after things that are currently happening that have evolved justice and injustice, because this is not just this man's trying to get it, you know, his life is currently being affected because he's got this felony on his record, but unfortunately the candidate for vice presidential office is too busy.
So what she's saying is basically that we're going to take our three chapters and unarmed, the legal system, and the inner city crime, and we're going to expound on them, and we're going to go a little bit more in depth and basically dig down a little bit deeper. So we're looking to do a three-part series. And we feel that...
And I understand you have a crowdfunding campaign around that?
We will. We're trying to get When Justice Isn't Justice out right now. We're in the throes of marketing this, just so that we can get this particular piece out, because although it's a short, it's very powerful.
Where can people get it? Where can people watch it? Is there a place they can sort of stream it online, buy it, et cetera?
It's on iTunes right now for $2.99. And if you go to First Run Features, the website on First Run Features, you can also buy the DVD for, I believe it's like $12. So it's on iTunes right now for $2.99. And for $12, you can own the DVD.
And I'm assuming that you would like maybe for people to even do community screenings and those sorts of things. It sounds like it can be a really good tool for public education.
We have held several community screenings, and we put together an interesting panel. we put together a representative from Black Lives Matter, along with us as the filmmakers. We also usually get a representative from the police law enforcement to come on. And it's a very engaging and enlightening conversation. Our whole purpose of doing this was not to make money, but to basically to keep the conversation alive and to make some changes that are necessary in our society.
Well, David and Dawn, I want to wish the two of you best of luck with continuing on this film and getting it to feature length. We'll have to have you back on when that happens. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us. And keep up your good work.
Thank you. David Massey is the director and producer, and Dawn Kirk-Alexander, the producer and writer of the short documentary, When Justice Isn't Just. And you can check our website at risingupwithsonali.com to find out where you can get a hold of the film. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.